enjoy the song of service. Having a little bit of trouble with my ear things. Got a microphone over my ears, hearing aids, and glasses. I'm not sure the Lord designed us to have that many things over the ears. But anyway, we'll make out. Lord has put a message on my heart tonight about faith. Actually, he gave me this message. I thought I was going to be preaching it this morning. And as I was studying it, he speaks to my heart. No, we need to get the pathway all fixed up first. We're on this pathway. And he knows what he's doing. We heard a message Wednesday night about Sure Foundation. And a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, we heard a great message from Aaron Pryor on faith. But the Lord would have me. I don't think you've got it yet. I sure haven't. Faith is a subject that we cannot learn all we need to know about faith. And the Bible tells us three times in the New Testament, Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Not only one time, but he told us we'll be living by faith again in Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Not only did he tell it one time, but since we're on this pathway, and I hope the Lord's got us, I know he's done his part, I hope we have received the message he has sent to us. The pathway is up to him. Don't look for a new one. Jeremiah told us in 6:16 that the old ways, that pathway is the only pathway that there is promised and is secured rest for the soul. So we're on the right pathway. But now that we're on it, we're living by faith. See what the Bible teaches us about faith in that. There's three aspects I want to look at if we have time. First of all, I want to look at the biblical definition of faith. Of course, we'll find that in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 11. And then we will expound upon that. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is, a biblical description. I didn't bother to look in Webster's Dictionary what faith is or anywhere else because I like to go by biblical definitions, don't you? And not saying they're wrong, but how can you improve on what God has said in this precious word? So let's explore that for a while. And first of all, we want to look at some biblical examples of faith. Now, if he's going to give us a definition of faith, which he just did, it's things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, of some biblical examples. Of course, we can't go through many, but there are many, many biblical examples, and I'm sure every one of us tonight could have an example where God has given you faith that has kept you on that pathway that he has laid out for you. You've experienced it. You didn't see it by eye, but you experienced it because it's the substance of things hoped for. We'll deal with substance in a little bit also. Matthew 9:22, the woman that had the issue of blood. Remember that story? Jesus said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And we're going to explore that thought because he had given her the faith. Remember, she had been all the doctors, and when everything had exhausted and there was no more hope that she would ever be cured of this blood problem that she had faith, and the faith, we're going to live by it, we're going to trudge. She was in the right place at the right time. The Savior came by, and she had the faith that if I can touch the hem of his garment, his faith in me and my faith in him is going to make a whole. So it worked. Biblical faith every time will work and prosper according to what God's wanted to do. In Matthew 9:29, the blind man, remember we looked at this recently, the blind man, he had been healed, and Jesus said to him, according to your faith be it unto you. The healing that Jesus was going to do to him was according to amount of faith he had. I wonder along the line how our faith may be weak. I know mine is. He wants to do something for us. And as we heard Aaron Pryor preach the other Wednesday night, it's not that we don't believe he can. We know that. But we actually believe he will. That's where we need to improve upon, because had she not had the faith to believe he would, and the blind man had the faith to believe he would, nothing's going to happen. So many times he wants to do it. He tells us he's going to do it. We know he can. Sometimes we're weak in their faith and we wonder. Now, if we are wondering, let's look at the word substance for a little bit. That will help us understand. The word substance. The biblical explanation of that is it's a setting place, or it's a foundation, if you will, in their life. You have to be able to know that everything has got a foundation. And it's something that actually exists. You don't see it, but a substance is something that exists. And it's the steadfastness of our mind, our hearts. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that substance of faith is something that controls our mind, our belief system. We didn't originate it. He originated it. He instilled it and put it in his heart. And that's why he told us that if we want to live the life he wants us to live, the just shall live by faith. Can't be mine, because mine wavers. It can't be yours, because yours probably wavers also. So it must be his faith imparted to us, and we receive that. That's the way we got saved. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, convicted us of our sins, showed us we were lost. We were hopelessly, helplessly lost. But he didn't leave us stranded at that point, because he instilled in us a grain, as big as a mustard seed maybe, but just a little grain of faith. And if we would accept that, then he takes over and increases that faith as we see the Word of God explain, as the Holy Spirit enlightens, as the Holy Spirit illuminates our mind. But it's that grain, that small seed of faith that he places in our belief system. And a lot of people shun it, don't want anything to do with it. And so therefore they can never get saved unless you receive that grain of faith the Holy Spirit gives us, that faith to believe that he died on Calvary, that he arose again, that his blood was sufficient to cleanse us from all our sins, and that he would in fact do it. I've met people that believed he would, but they never did believe that they believed he could, but I've met people that did not believe he would apply that to their life. I've had people come to my home and say, if you just knew all the things I've done, I said, I don't need to know, but have you ever done this? Have you ever held someone's coats and told them to throw stones and kill someone? No, never have done anything that bad. Well, Saul did, and Saul, remember, was the one arresting Christians and had them persecuted, and even Stephen was stoned to death. So the Lord can help us in that regard, because some people have lived awful lives. They have lived terrible lives. But it doesn't really matter, because that seed of faith that he imparts in us, if we will believe it and receive it and let him do the work, it will grow into salvation. It will get their name and record in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's just a starting place. Now that we're saved, we're traveling his pathway, and we're living by the faith of the Son of God. Paul says, the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He realized that sometimes his way, sometimes he said, the things I do, I would not. Oh, wretched man that I am. The things I would not do, I do. And if Paul had that problem in the flesh, no doubt you and I have it also. But the Bible can help us in that regard. So this substance, it's something, it's a firm trust and assurance that the Bible is true. And when he told us he'll do something for us, that salvation, yes, if we didn't believe it and receive it, we wouldn't be saved. But we had that part and we accepted it. But then the next step may be a little harder. It's something he wants you to do. He has told you to maybe change something or do something. won't have time to go through some of the things he told me to do. There was no way possible I could possibly do it. But I had the faith that he told me. I know his voice. He told me I would know his voice. And I had the faith that he gave me. That if you said it, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how I will proceed to. And I don't need to know, he said. Just step out on faith. And when you step out on faith, I'll teach you a step at a time. I'll work it all out. It's amazing. Biblical examples of faith. And then we see in Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Peter now was at the temple, remember, and he explained to the congregation that were gathered there at the temple, and they were wondering greatly about this formerly lame man that was laying there and could not move. He was now walking and leaping and praising God. It's a pretty good sign that he had received the faith, right? Not only was he walking, not only was he leaping for joy, but he was headed into the temple. That's the first thing God puts on your heart. Pretty good evidence you're saved if you have that whoa and of the Holy Spirit. When he saved me, I was already in church because if I was breathing, my brother and I were breathing, we'd be in church. The parents would see to it like that. But now that I'm saved at 12 years old, I could not wait to get there. There was a yearning. Can't explain it. But there was something in my heart, just I could not get enough of the Word of God. I love basketball and baseball better than anything, I guess, or probably as much as anybody. But even as a young boy, when I would find out Billy Graham was on, wasn't a lot of TV preachers in those days, and if there were, you had to be real careful which one you listen to. But I would stop doing anything to go in, and there's a woe into here. Sit down and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me explain it a little farther. Chuck Wagon Gang, remember them when you were, a lot of you aren't as old as I am. But back in those days, and they'd be on the radio or they'd be on television, I'd stop anything. I'd stop eating to go hear good Holy Ghost singing and good Holy Ghost preaching. Why? I wasn't like that before I got saved. Oh, that greatness of faith that he put in me has grown up now. And Isaiah said, the roots grow downward in the Word of God, and the plant grows upward. Looking for a place called heaven. Wanting to find that pathway that he wants me on. Don't know a lot about it, but I want to find it. And the only way I'm going to get there is live by faith. The faith that he gives me. Make application of it. So as we read the story here, he is now in the temple. And verse 11 of chapter 3 says, and as the lame man which was healed helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When you get saved and when the Lord heals you or does a great work in your life, the people are wondering. That's okay. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Look at verse 16. How did this all happen? Perfect explanation. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. His faith and faith in his name. And the Lord imparted that to this man, and he received it gladly. And when you receive that faith that he gives, it originates with him. But if we receive it, I can explain it. And that's why you study. All I know is to just live by it and can live by it, and he is in control of it. Isn't that wonderful? How you explain that substance of things unseen. Evidence of things unseen. Oh, it's so wonderful that when he lets us live by faith. In each example now, we have seen that faith is a substance. His faith is a substance. And that faith exercised and received can do amazing things. We've looked at the biblical definition of faith. I want to go farther and look at the declaration of faith. Declaration of faith. The Lord has given us several examples of that, and I want to look first of all at the principle of faith. The basic principle of faith is this. There is a God. He spoke to my heart. I believe his word. I believe that God had ordained, didn't have to understand all this, but what I do understand, I have to believe it, that God inspired writers of old, and he told them what to write, when to write, how to write. And the same God that instructed them and inspired them to write it is big enough God to keep it pure all the way through time and get me a copy. That's faith. And I live by that. And I walk by that. And then he empowers us when we do that. So the basic belief principle is there is a God. He can do anything he wants to. He said one time in the Word, he said, I do as I please. And we don't have to say he's bragging about that. He is maybe, but he can say that. When I say I'll do as I please, a lot of times we tried that, haven't we? Didn't work that too good, did it? You may have said it to someone that had tried to tell you where you're going, what you're doing, and we... down the south particularly, I never have lived up the north more than a couple of years, but I know how the southerners are. We don't want anybody telling us what to do, when to do it, or how to do it. That's just the way we are. But when God tells us, he can. He can do anything. He's a leader. He is the one that bought me and paid for me and gave me faith to believe in his name, and he has done it before. That helps my faith a lot to see that he's already done these things, don't you see? And the blind man did not understand all that, but when we don't understand, he will impart to us. And then if I know that he is God, he's done what he wanted to do, when he wants to, as he wants to, and he can do that with me too, and he can do it again because he's done it before. So all I have to do is commit my life to him and receive that faith and what he wants me to do. Well, how do you know that? How do I know what he wants me to do? That's the easy part. I don't have to try to figure it out. I remember when he was calling me to preach. I knew he was talking to me. My sheep hear my voice. I was saved. I belong to him. And he told me that I want you to preach. But I've seen preachers start and quit. I won't say that. I'll reword that. I have seen people start and quit. I'm not sure if he's called you, he can quit. That's a separate subject. But I realize that I don't want to make a mock out of it. Let me know that we know. Let me know that I know that I know. And don't let me, I ask one thing. Let me know that I'll never even entertain the thought from here on out that you didn't call me. I didn't ask for a sign. I had enough faith to believe he could do that. I didn't say if there's a bird lights in that tree and it flaps its wing. I didn't say anything. I just said, God, you made the sun and some time in my life, my mom and dad probably said that to son, boy. They didn't have to tell me again. And since you made it, I know you can tell me in a way that I'll know. And in these 40 years of preaching, I have never even had the thought, much less entertained it. There wasn't anything entertained it, but what he called me to preach. That was faith. How did I have that? He gave it to me. I received it. Based upon how you called other people and based upon the fact that the Holy Spirit can do anything he wants to do, and all I have to do is believe it and accept it. And people that won't do that, so we're talking about the basic belief principles. I want to look at the beseech principles. Not only the belief principles, but beseech. Look at it this way. We have to commit to something. We have to commit to his lordship. We have to commit our life. We commit ourselves to the floor. We commit to the automobile. We have to commit our life to him. And when I commit my life to him and I earnestly beseech him that he will do for me what I need done. I don't really ask him for a lot of particulars. You may, and it's perfectly fine if you want to. For me, I've just found a better way. I found that since he knows the way, he knows the plan, he has the pathway, he knows what I need, I really don't spend a lot of time telling him what I need. He already knows. The faith principle for me is just beseeching him that I'll be what I ought to be, and I'll keep sin out of my life, and I'll have this desire to yearn for his presence and his will to be done in my life. And when I do that, seems to me like he takes care of all the little things. Well, I could worry about do this for me and do that for me. Well, he's going to do it anyway. He already said, if I'll surrender my life to him and I'll get on the pathway and I'll listen to his voice, he'll lead me and he'll bless me. All these things are automatic. The only problem I've got is keeping myself uprightly. The Bible tells us that he is a shield and a buckler to those that walk uprightly. Now, if I walk uprightly, and he helps me walk uprightly, there's a shield he puts before me. It's invisible, of course. It's before me, it's over me, it's behind me, it's under me, it's completely encircling me. And he said no fiery dart can even penetrate that shield unless he removes the shield. So all I have to do is walk uprightly. That's what he's told me to do. A shield and a buckler. He will provide if I walk uprightly. So the beseeching factor I do is don't do this, don't do that, Lord. Just let me be the candidate you want me to be and walk uprightly. And to do that, the devil don't like it a little bit. He'll put all these things in front of you, all the things that he wants you to do. Well, I found a way to control that also. Now, my flesh don't like it a little bit. But James said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Satan hinders us. Satan bothers us, trying to destroy us. And all I have to do is breathe a prayer to God from the abundance of my heart, with that seed of faith that he gave me, believing that he hears, he knows, he cares, and he is more interested in me than I am him, obviously, because he's God. With all my mind, with all my heart, with all my strength, I'm interested in him. But see, my little old feeble mind is not very big. But with all his heart, he cares for me. And by faith, I believe that. So not only a basic principle, but a beseeching principle that God is in control of my life in every respect. When bad things happen, and they do, he allowed it. He orchestrated it. He planned it. He purposed it. Faith lets me believe that and know that. And then I say, he arranged it. He can. He's done it before. He will. Just let me walk uprightly. It's all I need to do. So we've looked at the principles of faith. And I want to look at the practice of faith. The practice of faith is on an everyday occurrence, of course. Now, disciples, they had to learn this. And you know, I learned it also. The performance is not my job, nor yours. All my job is, you know, we preach, some people get saved, some people leave unsaved, some people could care less. It's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to know what he wants me to preach, to walk uprightly so I can proclaim it and he will anoint it, and his word will have the effect. The performance factor is completely up to him. It's God's job. Now, I know by faith he wants to. It pleases him to do it. And when he does it, it will be far greater than I can even ask or think. So keep your performance and my performance out of it. When we try to accomplish something, make a mess out of it. He's got it all arranged already. And these, not only that, but I want to look thirdly at the biblical demonstrations of faith. We've looked at the biblical definitions of faith, and we've looked at the biblical declaration of faith. But I want to look at the demonstrations of faith. Romans 10:17. Simple verse. It's simple as far as a few words, but it's pretty complicated, actually. So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. We've looked at the biblical definition, and we've looked at the declaration. But he tells us very clearly now, this is the demonstration of faith. The faith comes by hearing. Not necessarily what I say, but what he has said in his word and what the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart. That's the way you get faith. Now we have to live by, he's already told us three times in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith. But before I know how to live by it, I have to know how to hear. I have to know how to obey his word. So the faith cometh by hearing. Well, that's good, but what if he don't speak? Oh, he will. And hearing from the word of God. Wonder how many more times he would speak to our hearts if we would read more and study more and stay on our knees more in this beseeching factor. It's not just a belief factor, but it's a belief principle, but it's a beseeching that, Lord, I want to know more about your word. And the reason we want to know more about his word is not to impress people or not to let people know how much we know or no, that's not what it's about. Now, the flesh likes to do that, but our flesh is our enemies, don't you see? The flesh is enmity against God. And God hates pride. God loves humility. And God says, a humble and a contrite heart I will not despise. Now, if I know what God hates, and I do, and I know what God likes, seems to me like the beseeching principle ought to be, Lord, help me to be more in the area of pleasing you. And to please you, flesh has to be buffeted. It has to be put down. Now, I know I let him crucify my flesh when I got saved. But the problem was, the next morning it got up again out of the bed. And that's good because I'm still living. But you see, my spirit's saved and my soul is eternally saved, but I'm still in the flesh. And the flesh doesn't want a thing. You know the biggest enemy most of us have? It's not the government. And the devil is our enemy, of course he is. But our flesh. It's what keeps us from reading and studying and obeying God's word, because the flesh doesn't want anything to do with it. It is somewhat hard on the flesh to read and to study and do all the other things we're doing, right? I mean, it's not an easy thing. And the flesh doesn't want any part of it, for the most part. But there's something within me that God put the faith principle and the beseeching principle, that there's something within me that wants to know more and more about God's word. And to do that, I have to buffet the flesh to bring it under subjection and say, Lord, now when I read it, there's all these things. Boy, if God shows you that, you don't have this problem, but I do. So let me confess my problems before you. And you do too. I'm just not going to accuse you of it. That when you learn something new from God's word, two things happen. First of all, it blesses you. And the second thing is you want to tell about it. And that's good too. You want to tell others. But then there's the third thing that kicks in. The thing that thinks, oh, if I tell about that gold nugget I've seen and I've never heard it before, that little thing called pride kicks in. You ever have that problem? Boy, he must have really be walking with the Lord to have the Lord show him that. And that makes the flesh kind of proud, don't it? If we could get that out of the way, wonder what we could be for God. If we could get to, I'm being honest, if we could get to the place when God shows us something and we won't know, we can say it, I want no glory, Lord, all you. The trouble is the flesh wants glory. And you and I have a hard time crucifying. This is the basic principle of faith, and it's a beseeching factor. And rather than beseeching the Lord to do all those great mighty things for me, the biggest thing I need is for him to help me stay humble, completely a contrite spirit, and keep the flesh from any part of the glory. And he's already said, no flesh shall glory in my sight. There's a lot of fleshly glory, but he lets us know I'm not having a part of it. I'm not looking upon it favorably. He sees everything. But when he sees us glorying in the flesh, he wants no part of it. It's not of him, by him, or for him. So this is a biblical illustration of faith. Romans 10, the flesh, by faith comes by hearing. Hearing from the Word of God and listening to God speak. Now, I've already told you when He'll speak. He'll speak when you and I come to realization that when He speaks and tells me these things, I can't glory in it. I can't elevate myself. I can't jump up on the pedestal and say, look what I know. Because we won't hear from Him until we get past that. So we won't have faith. Like I said, this is a simple verse, but it's very complicated. So then faith comes by hearing. But hearing won't happen because He won't speak until we come to the place that we don't want to consume any of the glory to our own lust. Is that what He said about prayer? Many have not because they ask. They ask not in faith for His glory, but they ask to consume it upon their own lust. We need this, we need that, Lord, but we don't want to give Him glory for it. We want to consume it. And you might as well stop praying because you're not going to receive it anyway until we can change your attitude. And hearing by that word of God. Some accounts that please God, and I have to hurry. Let's just look at the first of chapter 7 of Hebrews. We're introduced by some accounts. Now, if I know what God's pleased with, then I know what I'm to do. And we see that Abel, the first one's mentioned, he worshiped God. Why did he worship God? The substance that he was given to God was through love and admiration to God. Remember, he gave not of the plants, but he gave the blood sacrifice. Why did he do that? Worship. The only way you can worship God is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So from the love and the abundance of his heart, he was offering offerings to God for his love and for his admonishment to God. And God was pleased with that. We see that his brother, Cain, wanted to do something. Look what I've raised. Look how my crops are done. I must be a good farmer. And he went bypassed the blood, and God wouldn't adhere to it, and God wouldn't bless him for it. It made him mad, but God's way is not our way, and he will do it right. The second thing we see, the account that's pleasing God, is a walk by faith. Enoch walked by faith. Wasn't that something? Every morning he got up, it's a faith walk. He loved to walk by faith so much. The just shall live by faith. Not only did he live by faith, he walked by faith. It pleased God enough to go ahead and receive him on up to glory. So Abel now, he's worshiping, and we see that Enoch is walking. And then, of course, Noah. Can you imagine? A few of you went to the ark. We read about it. But when you see it, wow. Noah built an ark like that. Can you imagine the work he had to do? But I wonder what caused him to do that. Because he wanted to do it? It was his idea? No. Faith. God says, make an ark. And spare, I'll use that ark to spare you and your family because I'm seeing the flood. And that caused him to work. Wonder what it would take from God to cause us to walk by faith and to worship and to please God by working for him, doing the things he bids us do. Now, don't have to worry about the pattern. Remember, Noah had no idea whatsoever how to float a boat. And he did not know how that would be steered, and he did not know how big it needed to be. He knew nothing about anything. God provided the pattern. What a picture for us that when you come to him in this beseeching thing, God, I don't know what you want, what pathway you want. Here I am. Keep myself out of the way. And Noah had no idea that hundreds of years later we'd all be looking back. Boy, that Noah must be a mighty man in the Lord. That's not the reason he built the ark. Gave all glory and honor to God. Anybody could get an ark through all that flood water. It wasn't Noah. It wasn't his sons. We're closing that. Got 2/3 finished at least. Everyone stand. Heads are bowed. Lord Jesus, thank you for faith. We walk by it. We hear from heaven. We receive it by the word of God and hearing. Increase our faith. And we know how you'll increase it by hearing, adhering to, and believing everything you tell us. And help us, Father. Help me to keep my flesh out of the way. I beseech you, Father, this basic principle of believing. And then the beseeching factor, Lord, to keep me pure and holy and my flesh out of the way and my fleshly desires out of the way and all the glory factor absolutely annihilated, Father, in my life. Everything I do would be to glorify and uplift the name of Jesus. Help me, Father. And when I do that, you'll take care of everything else. You're the pattern. You'll send all the details. You'll provide every means. We do not know how Noah and the sons got all that material. It must have been an amazing thing, but you provide it. It just gives us a beautiful picture of how you provide everything in our life to get us through this weary land. And everything's going to be accomplished will be through faith. Help us learn more about it, adhere to it, and we give you honor and glory because of it. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, we humbly pray, and we love you. Amen. Would you please sing a song, Randy, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. I usually like to give an invitation because I don't know your heart. In fact, truth is, I don't know my heart. I think I do. I thought for sure this message was for this morning, but he said, no. How do you know that? Well, he sends both messages. All I have to do is hear him and be willing to serve him and be willing to do what he wants me to do. So we've heard the message, and now our time to respond to the message. Lord, put on your heart you need to come and beseech him that you can walk by faith. You can ask a lot of things you want to. He'll be pleased in that, I know. But the main thing we need to do is learn how, let him teach us how to get our flesh out of the way. I'll solve 99% of our problem. Because when he gets the glory and we don't want to consume it upon ourselves, things will happen. Lord, get us to that place, I pray. And we'll never go any farther in the Lord until we get to that place. Simple. The faith factor.